There are some people, when you give them a mic, you have to be careful. Amen. Well, this morning, I just need you to buckle up your seatbelt. I'm going to speak on a very important topic that is much needed in our world today. We have a world where everyone wants to be happy. Who doesn't want to be happy? Put up your hand. I can give you some of my problems. Everybody wants to be happy. So everyone will want to pursue happiness. And they say in their heart, I want to be happy. And happiness is one of the main goals of life. So, individual take their own step to happiness. Some take the step of, I have. But I'm still not happy. I did what I like or love, but I'm still what? Not happy. I got much and I got what I want, but I'm still not what? Happy. Do you ever felt that way? I got all the attention I want. I'm still not happy. My whole life is focused on me and my happiness. But I'm still what? Not happy. Are you in such a place? I am not happy. A research was done, and it's been proven that the key to happiness, the essential to happiness, is not getting and getting more, having and having more, taking and taking more. Because when you have this attitude, you are just like a broken sister that can never be filled or full, but rather happiness comes from giving. Does that shock you? And one form of giving is gratitude. This morning, I'm going to speak on gratitude, the heart of gratitude. And this gratitude that is in you is expressed in gratefulness and thankfulness. This is what the dictionary say about gratitude. It's the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for, and to return kindness. Not just getting, but also giving. This is what the Bible definition for gratitude is. It's an emotion. An emotion of what? Of the heart. And the emotion of the heart is excited by a favor or benefit received. But this emotion is not just receiving. This emotion is expressed in kindness of goodwill towards the one who has blessed you, who has helped you, who has been kind to you. Thankfulness. You know, I have shared with you before, I'm always thankful. Thankful to my school teacher. My school teacher who brought me to the Lord. I was in Sec 2. Most of my friends that I know were not good friends. Some of them came from families that were gangsters. I was moving with them. My parents didn't know anything. But I'm thankful for this teacher. This teacher that looked out to me, he reached out to me, he befriended me, he helped me even to pay my school fees. To pay my school fees in time. You know, when you don't pay your school fees in time, you get ridiculed. The teacher made an example of you. You understand that. But this teacher helped me to pay my school fees in time. He discipled me, taught me, loved me as a brother in Christ. Today, I'm able to preach and teach the Word of God. It's because of his input, and I'm forever grateful to him. Look at yourself. You did not arrive where you are. And no one gets to where they are with their own effort alone. There is always someone who has helped or invest in you. It could be parents, teacher, friends, employer. My question to you, are you grateful to them? If you live long enough, 66, no more than another 6 is no good. Just 66 is okay. Not 666. If you live long enough, you will have met enough people who are ungrateful and unthankful. And they have shown ingratitude. If you have worked like me as a pastor, 30 years I've been pastoring. You'll meet, thank God, just few of them. But many people are very grateful. You'll meet few of them. You pour your life, your time, your energy, and your resources on them. And when you are not able to meet just one of their needs, they just remember what you cannot do for them, and everything that you have done for them, they cancel off their mind. When you're in that place, you feel used and burned. When you meet people who are ungrateful, who express ingratitude, usually you suffer what we call compassion fatigue. Have you been there before? You stop loving, you stop meeting needs, you stop feeling and being compassionate. You shut one part of the emotion. Compassion is in there. You shut it off because you don't want to be burned. But I ask you, when you do that, can you live a normal life? You can't. You must have this attitude. Do all things like to who? Like you do to Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is your what? Rewarder. But the next time, have some boundaries and wisdom in dealing with people. Gratitude, the opposite is ingratitude. Ingratitude was birthed where? Was birthed in the Garden of Eden. Think of that. Of everything that God has done for Adam and Eve, instead of being thankful, ingratitude set into their heart. And it continued into human history. In fact, Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 2, he said that one of the signs of the last day is ingratitude. Let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 2. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last day there will be very difficult time, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scorning at God, disobedient to their parents. Ingratitude, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to their parents, and ungrateful, thankless, you know, unthankful, and they will consider nothing sacred. Apostle Paul tied ungrateful, unthankful, ingratitude to what? Self, what? Self-love. Self-love is when people love themselves, the lover of self, self-absorbed, self-important, self-promoting. And our world is so caught up with so much self-love. Self-love says it is never what? Never enough. I need more, I want more, must have much more. Self-love says the whole world rotates around me and no one else. Everything is here for me. I'm the most important person in the universe, in this universe. It's all about me. This is called narcissism, the enemy of gratitude. Look at the four gospel. There's only one occasion where Jesus spoke about ingratitude. And when Jesus spoke about ingratitude, it was not a parable or a story. It was a life incident. Actually took place. And it was the healing of the 10 leper. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to verse 19. As Jesus continued towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village, there 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he has done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Did not I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you whole." Jesus walking between the border of Galilee and Samaria. And there he met 10 lepers. 10 lepers. 10 lepers, mainly Jews, maybe only one Samaritan, one foreigner. And you know, the Jews and the Samaritan in community life will not get together. But when there is pain, there is suffering, barriers is to be removed. And the Bible tells us they stood far, far away from Jesus as required by the Old Testament. The Old Testament never say how far you should stand. But it was one of the religious practice that a leper must stand 45 meters away from someone who is well. 45 meters is from that wall to the door. 4 times that distance. And when he stand that far away, he must shout, "Unclean, unclean. I am unclean." This is the anguish and the desperate cry of the leper. We are unclean. We are rejected by family, rejected by society, rejected even by religion. In fact, to the leper is that we are as good as what? As dead. So they isolate themselves. It's a stigma that may never be removed. In our early years, we helped the leper colony at Khong Kien, Thailand. If you have been with me to Khong Kien, to this leper colony, some of them, even after leprosy, the finger is gone. And they stay in there because the village around them were not allowed and would not want them to move out, even when they are well. And with their children, when they go to school, their children are well, but yet they will be what? Ostracized and rejected. So this is what this 10 leper felt. So they came to Jesus and they cried, "Master, have mercy on them." And Jesus, being Jesus, a man moved with compassion, stopped and he healed them. The unclean was made clean. The outcast was restored. Jesus stopped for the 10 lepers. Amen. Jesus stopped when a mother cried. Jesus stopped when a father cried. Jesus stopped when individual, whether you are rich or poor, whether you have or you don't have, high status or not high status, if you call Jesus, he will what? He will stop. So cry out. Today, if you are here, you have a need, cry out in faith. Jesus will stop and hear your cry. So Jesus stopped. And you will think that when Jesus stopped to heal this 10 leper, you will think that Jesus, who has bring them out of death to life, you would think that this 10 leper would have show heart of gratitude. But only one leper returned to express gratitude and thanksgiving for being healed. Jesus asked, were they not 10 cleansed? Were they not? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus said to him, arise, go, your faith has healed you. This is an actual life incident. It's just very common, so common that ingratitude can easily get into our heart, that we take our blessing for granted. So often, once a man has got what he wants, he never what? Never come back. Out of 10, one came back and said thank you. But before we judge the other 9 for their ingratitude, we must remember, we must remind ourselves, it is easy to be like one of the 9. Charles L. Brown of Main Street Monitor give us 9 suggested reasons why the 9 lepers did not return to thank Jesus. He said, one man wait to see if the cure was real. One wait to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he had never really had leprosy. One said he got well anyway. One gave glory to the priest. One said, oh well, Jesus did not really do anything. One said, any rabbi would have done it. One said, I was already much improved. No reason or excuses can justify ingratitude. How about you? How about you? Let me ask you, how often do you feel grateful? More important, how often do you express and show gratitude to God and others? How often? Honestly, the answer is probably the same for most of us. Not what? Not enough. Not enough. Not even close enough. Or could do more and much more. Gratitude. Where do we start? With a heart of gratitude. Where do we start? Look at the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments give us the order of gratitude. First who? First God. Then who? Then our parents. Followed by others. Start with gratitude to God. Every breath you enjoy that you have belongs and comes from God. If you read Psalm 150, the last psalm and the last verse, it is so true that verse 6 it says, let every breath, breathing creature, every breath, every breathing creature, praise God. How often, like the Israelite, we cry to God in times of great need and He answers us, but quickly we forgot about Him until the next need. How about His provision, His protection, and His presence? Do you take them for granted or do you give thanks to God for them? The Old Testament, the Israelites have a practice they call thanks offering. What is this thanks offering? This will take place after the harvest. After the harvest, it was God who had given them the good harvest. God that gave the rain, the sun, God that make their harvest fruitful. And after the harvest, they will express gratitude for God's blessing. And it was a visible, tangible gratitude flowing out of their heart to God, that God, this is what you have given to us. This is our thanksgiving offering to you because of your blessing. Lest we forget the communion that we have. The communion is also called the table of what? Thanksgiving. That God remind us we need to be grateful people, thankful people. We need to be a person that express and have a heart of what? Gratitude. We live in a great country. This WA is very blessed. Even during this pandemic, our state budget is $5.6 billion. We are able to move around. We have enough food on the table. We live in comfortable houses and we have secure jobs. We have everything we need. It is easy to take God's blessing for what? For granted. And the only time where we thank God is in our meal time. Bless this food. Sometimes we pray, bless this food, God, so that I don't get a stomachache after that. The heart of gratitude is found in Psalm 103, verse 1 to verse 5. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good he does for me. He forgives all my sin and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. Fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like eager. Oh, that we may learn to give thanks to God for everything. The heart of gratitude starts with God. Second, how about parents? Humans are the only species that stay the longest with their parents. Birds fly when their wings are ready. Mother eagle bird push the eaglet so that it will flap the wing and be on your own. But children, they stay as long as they want, they like. And when they leave home, they keep coming back. When they come back, they don't come back alone. They come back with what? More children. So the fifth commandment is honor your parents. And it's a command with blessing and reward. The fifth commandment says to honor your parents is to respect them, to be grateful to them, to be thankful to them. And that's why society collapses when we stop honoring our parents. Individualism and self-love has birthed ungrateful children. William Shakespeare once wrote, "How sharper than the serpent tooth it is to have thankless children." Literally, it means it is especially painful to raise an ungrateful children. I think we are seeing a society, a world that we are living in. The more individuals they become, the more selfish they become, the more self-centered they become, the more ungrateful they become. Recently, I received an article from a law firm on the topic elder abuse. Children trying to get their inheritance before their parents die. This research annual report is in Australia. It's called the National Elder Abuse Report. And who are the culprit? He said that men, 32.2%. Women, 30.7%. So how do they abuse the elder? Emotional abuse. Don't bring their grandchildren to see them. Emotional abuse. Physical abuse. And another form is over medicining them or under medicining them so that they what? They die. I mean, we laugh. But in this first class, first grade country like Australia, could you believe such abuse can happen? Now, when I read this article, I pray that none of the abuser will call themselves Christian. I pray so. Does it surprise you? You can ask Pastor Kara, that most and many counselee problems are traced back to parents and children relationship. Does it surprise you? This is why gratitude to parents is not only just good for the parents alone, but also for the children's own well-being. Grace City Church, we believe and pray for generational. And this can only happen with grateful children and thankful children that honor their parents with a heart of gratitude. Say amen. And can I say to you, do it while they are what? While they are alive. While they can eat, let them eat the Wagyu beef. Don't wait till it has to be what? Grind and become a mince. While they can eat, let them eat. While they can go holiday, send them for holiday. While they can still walk. You know, today is my birthday. I thank two gifts that I got for my children that I really want. One, a dinner, a teppanyaki dinner. I always love teppanyaki. Second, a bicycle. This is the third bicycle that I got. Of course, my dear wife looked at me. Another bicycle. I look at her, knowing that the Bible is true. Say amen. I look at her and say, the Bible said one wife. Never say one bicycle. One wife. Now, gratitude to parents. I pray that each one of you here will do your best. Now we come to gratitude to others. None of us is where we are solely because of ourselves or by sheer luck, you know, or by chance. It must be because someone that has helped us or empowered us. For me, it was the teacher who has poured his heart, his life to me. For me, when I was looking for a sales job, it was one manager who said, I will give you a chance. I have no experience. Everybody said, you got no experience. Have you ever done that before? You're looking for a job. They say, oh, you are not good enough because you got no experience. Have you ever been there before? Until one day I got fed up. I said, if you said that the inexperienced person will never become what? Experienced. You got to give them a chance. For me, it was this man who gave me a chance. Gratitude is very important. One day, he started his own, and he asked me to help him. This was my word to him, because no one gave me a chance. You give it to me, I will repay you. Gratitude. You know, and also, you know, for gratitude to others, it can be the friends, you know, your wife, and for me, I'm very blessed with many good folks that are here. I have a good lunch yesterday. You know, I pray that you will always be grateful in your heart to people. People who has helped you, people who has poured themselves to you. The heart of gratitude. My mother used to say to me when I was young, and she used to say this in Hokkien. you know, you may not understand. He said, my kue kio ko chao pan. You may ask, what is that? It means this, what my mother said to me. Don't burn the bridge after you cross. Because you never know when you will need the bridge. Some people, ingratitude people like that, they forget. Then one day, they will remember Kara, Pastor Kara again. I like the word of Apostle Paul. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another. Gratitude. Well, my next question is, when to start the heart of gratitude? When to start? Every good and godly practice, you should start when you are young. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, teach up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from him. Teach your children gratitude, especially when they are young, in their formative year, in their early years of their life. Teach them to say this word, thank you. So important. Thank you. Teach them to appreciate what they have. Teach them to be grateful to others. And the best model of gratitude is you as parents. You as parents being an example to them. Because if you don't teach them gratitude, you know what the child will become? What we call this, the emperor syndrome. Little emperor and empresses running around thinking that the whole world owe them a living. And they grow up in their adulthood with this assumption that everybody is here to meet my need and make me happy. It's all about me. You tell me, will the child ever be happy? He only experienced unhappiness and ingratitude. Teach the child. When to express gratefulness. Every day, every breath, every opportunity, and under every circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Thank God no matter what happens. Have, thank God. Don't have, thank God. In pain, thank God. Laughing, thank God. Crying, thank God. Every time, just thank God. Be grateful to God. Thank God no matter what happened. This is the way God wants you who belongs to Jesus Christ to what? To live. This is how God wants you to live. Grateful. Thankful. It is easier to complain and murmur, but it takes faith to practice a heart of gratitude throughout your life. And sometime in the height of success, everything is so good and great. Like the life of King David, a man after God's own heart. In the heart of success, he forgot a heart of what? Gratitude. Would you believe that? This man was called a man after God's own heart. He wrote half of the psalm. There are 150 psalms. He wrote 75 of them. And he wrote psalms of gratitude, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of praise in tears and in joy. Then he wrote Psalm 51. Psalm of repentance, because he forgot a heart of what? Gratitude. What happened to David can happen to any one of us. We are not ingratitude proof. It can happen to any of us. As I meditate on David's life, it challenged my heart to keep God against two dangerous attitudes that can lead to ingratitude. The attitude of attainment. I have arrived, I have made it, this is it, nothing more to achieve. I am now self-sufficient, I have no need. Now is the time to take it easy, relax, and enjoy life. But with God, religiosity replaces relation. There is an act, but there is no what? No heart. It can happen to us when we reach that place. When David reached that place, it caused him to stay home while his men were at the battlefield. He forgot how he got there and who made him. Instead of gratitude to God for his life and everything, pride came into his heart. Ingratitude seized his heart. And he has what? Short memory. Do you know we all have short memory? Short memory of God who graciously gave him everything and he fell into sin. Not so when you don't reach there yet. Remember when you don't reach there yet? You are working hard to reach your goal. You are depending on Him, thanking Him for every success, every step of success. Wow, God, one breakthrough. You answer prayer. You are so thankful to Him. But when you are established and your pocket is filled and full, will you think less of God? Will you be thankful to Him every day for everything, including the breath? The second attitude that I need to beware of is called the attitude of entitlement. I can have anything and everything I want because I am entitled to. King David thought that as a king of Israel, he is entitled to anything and everything he desired and wanted. No restriction. He deserved it. The attitude of entitlement. When you have this attitude, why do you need to be grateful and thankful? Because it is my right. It is mine. I deserve it. And if you cannot give me, meet my needs, fulfill my wants, it is not my fault, but whose fault? Your fault. The attitude and entitlement say, it's the fault of parents who cannot give me what I want. It's the fault of the government. It's the fault of the employer. They owe me. It is this entitlement that makes you feel that you are a victim. Entitlement is dangerous. It births ingratitude. Australia is a first great country. We have so many entitlements, yet people are not happy. It is never enough. They want and deserve more. They believe they are entitled to more. Rather being thankful and grateful, maybe they should visit a less fortunate country that will help them to see how blessed they are. Gratitude is not in our human nature. It takes what? It takes intentional mindset. The mind must set. And then the intentional mindset must have intentional what? Action. The action can be the words or the hand. Have you think about 100 ways to say thank you? Think about that. 100 ways to say and show thank you. Because it has to be intentional. Let intentional attitude be the way of life. This is my way of life. I'm always grateful and I'm always thankful to God, to my parents, and to others. I must make it the way of life. Because if I make it the way of life, it will affect those who are what? Around me. Every day, I ask you every day, write down three things that you are grateful and thankful for. Because gratitude changes your perspective about life. It renews and refreshes your spirit. You can live in the past with regret, hope for a better tomorrow, or enjoy and live in the present with a heart of gratitude. The choice is yours. I choose to live in gratitude. Gratitude recognizes that everything that I own, everything that I have, is a gift from God. My parents is a gift from God. They may not be the best, but it's a gift of God. Without them, I will not be born. You know, and my friends and others is a gift of God. They have limitations, I understand. Gratitude tells me it's not getting what I'm entitled to. That everything is God's gift. My eyes is God's gift. My ability to preach is God's gift. My spouse is God's gift. My children is God's gift. My parents, my freedom, my job, and every breath that I am enjoying. This morning I went to cycle before I came to church. Every breath that I'm enjoying. Yesterday I cycled 23K. Every breath I cycle, I thank God for it. I'm not lying on the bed with sick or unwell. Have you ever thought of that? I mean, folks, do you need such a great miracle before you have a heart of gratitude? Everything that you have, you know, if it's taken away from you, then you realize. Be thankful. Intentional gratitude. Before you leave this morning, while you're sitting here, what is the one thing for which you are thankful for? Think about that. Intentional mindset. Then when you leave this place and you have your coffee there, fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters, share with them what is the one thing you're thankful for. You don't have to preach a sermon. Share with them. Then before you fall to sleep tonight, say thank you to God. This will be a step forward, a decisive, intentional step forward to your happiness and your contentment. A heart of what? Gratitude. Come, Rajiv, let's sing our first song. The first song that we sang this morning, the heart of gratitude, being thankful. You are not a self-made man or a self-made woman. Somebody, God, it could be parents or friends or your employer. Someone has helped you and empowered you. The heart of gratitude starts maybe with little, but as you develop intentionally the mindset and the action, it becomes part of your life. And your whole perspective of life will change. Why don't you stand up with me?